This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mega and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Geno Smith has officially been dealt from the Seattle Seahawks to the Vegas Raiders to be with his former head coach, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll went and got his guy, did not want to start over with a young rookie quarterback, and showed you by going to get a veteran quarterback. But I also think this means a lot for the NFL draft. Like, this is another team in the top 10 that no longer needs a quarterback. They went, they got their guy, they're moving forward with Geno, and now I think... Mego, I am curious. Do you think this is good or bad for the New England Patriots when it comes to the draft?
I think overall the movement around quarterbacks right now, because I'd throw the Vikings news in here as well.
Yep.
With Sam Darnold is going to apparently be on the move, and the Vikings are going to go with J.J. McCarthy. It's hard for me to look at it and not say that it's good. Because I know that there's a lot of stuff going on with Shedeur Sanders, and there's just like a lot of movement around with what it might impact the Patriots with their number 4 pick. I honestly just come back to the point, though, that the Patriots are so incredibly lucky to have landed Drake May with the number 3 pick.
Preach.
Overall.
Preach.
Like, I can sit here,
Preach.
I can sit here and freak out and say, well, this is going to have this impact on quarterbacks in the draft, and Shedeur Sanders is going to be outside the top 20 of picks, which I don't think is going to happen. Mm. It seems kind of crazy to me. We always go through this with quarterbacks in the draft. But at the end of the day, just thank God you're not looking for one this year. Thank God. And I don't give credit to Elliott Wolf, because you just took the guy who was there at 3. But I do think that at the end of the day, like, my perspective with all of this comes back to, like, well, glad you're not in that position.
Yeah, I mean, you're very lucky that you're not in that position, because the movement in the veteran quarterback market to me indicates that the NFL only likes one of the quarterbacks in this draft, and they know that that quarterback isn't going to make it past pick 3.
We're talking about Cam Ward.
We are talking about Cam Ward.
Like, just making sure.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. No, I think all of these moves, the amount of, I mean, Rap Sheet had a tweet this morning. I could not believe it. It was talking about the Geno Smith trade, and then he's mentioning, like, Daniel Jones is a possibility to go. You keep an eye out for him, especially with the Colts and the Vikings. And then Aaron Rodgers lurks with the Giants and possibly the Vikings. Justin Fields has a strong market as the Steelers work to re-sign him, but the Jets and others also have interest. Sam Darnold is at play here. The Seahawks seem to really like him, but he's available. Like, I look at to me, this indicates if the Jets are really in on Justin Fields and the Giants are really in on Aaron Rodgers, clearly they don't feel like a quarterback that they like will be available at 7 or 3 in the draft, which means there's only one quarterback that people like, and it's Cam Ward. And he's going to go either number 1 to the Tennessee Titans or number 2 to the Cleveland Browns. And I am, like, more and more convinced Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter will not be available.
Well, you don't care because you don't want Travis Hunter. So this really comes down to Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter will not be available for the New England Patriots, and I'm pissed. It stinks. It's upsetting, but it is what it is. This quarterback draft sucks, and the NFL is accounting for that. And so you're going to lose out on Abdul Carter because of what you did at the end of the regular season, like a bunch of idiots. And now you're going to, you're not going to be able to find anybody to trade back with because nobody wants a quarterback. So you now either have to take a swing on Armand Membu, the in my opinion, the number one tackle.
You think you draft Armand Membu at 4?
Well, this is my point, is you're now in the crappiest spot imaginable because you miss out on the two blue chip players. I don't think one of them is blue chip, but regardless, the NFL does. Two blue chip players in Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, and you have to then take a swing on somebody, whether it's Tet McMillan. I mean, there's a lot of people now that think Matthew Golden is the number one receiver over Tet McMillan. I disagree, but
Todd McShay hates Tet McMillan.
Yeah,
apparently.
There's a lot of people that love Matthew Golden. I do too, but not that high. And then, in my opinion, Armand Membu is the top tackle, or maybe you like Will Campbell, or maybe you like Mason Graham, I guess, if you want to go interior defensive line, when there's like 5 great interior defensive linemen in free agency.
Right.
So you're in a position here that is just almost worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario would be if you're one of these, this is where I come back to, it would be if you're one of these teams that's looking for a quarterback this year.
Sure, knowing you have a quarterback, you're in the worst case
for
you could be
for yourself as you sit here now, it's not a great place to be. I still come back to, you have the most important position on the field. What you do with this number 4 pick overall, I'd still be in favor of them trading back. If they can find any trade partner, I think it's worth trading back. I think the blue chippers, putting in quotation marks around in this draft, suck compared to the last several years of what you were trying to get. And so it doesn't even feel like they're at a point where they should be drafting best player available, because I don't think it's just going to be the value of that pick. I think that you should trade back, you should draft for need, and that's the position that you're forced into. If you can find a trade partner, that's where you go. I think this is a good spot to just play the Shedeur Sanders sound, because this is apparently Shedeur Sanders went on two different interviews, or went on a couple interviews in two different organizations, were not impressed with the way that he presented himself. Here's the, Todd McShay report about it.
The two people that I spoke to in these positions, they had a 15-minute meeting with them, and when they were done, they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shedeur Sanders cared all that much about what that organization thought of him. I've had multiple conversations too with these personnel people and other personnel people who see the same things that we talked about on tape. Best pure passer. Unbelievable. When in rhythm, touch, timing, layering the ball. Right. But in those conversations, he's not that great an athlete. Holds on to the ball too long. It's a lot of the same stuff that we were worried about with Caleb Williams coming up. The difference is Shedeur is a fraction of the athlete. And so there's work to be done with this guy.
I think there was a little more to the cut, too, where, Brian, you have that? Play the...
Either Shedeur and Coach Prime, the Sanders family, and that team know exactly how this thing's going to play out, or based off of our tape study evaluation, and while we like Shedeur Sanders a whole lot, it could be a long first night of the draft for Shedeur Sanders.
And I think that's the key, is either Deion and Shedeur know exactly where Shedeur is going to go, or it's going to be a long night for Shedeur Sanders.
So there's multiple reports now at this point that Shedeur Sanders had a couple of meetings, and people said that he seemed disinterested.
Correct.
And even borderline unprofessional.
I thought it was interesting, though. The Browns immediately countered those reports.
Okay.
The Browns, I believe it was Mary Kay Cabot, had like a statement from the Browns, or a source with the Browns, that said, we met with Shedeur, he was nothing but professional, a great kid, blah, 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 like raving about him.
If you're if you're Coach Prime and you're Shedeur, does it serve you well to be going into meetings and seem disinterested?
Nope. Unless you don't want
Unless
that team to pick
you. Unless you're trying to manning it up like Eli style, and you're saying, correct, I really don't want to go to this
Which
team.
Deion has said before, like, we are going to manipulate, more or less, not in my own words, I'm paraphrasing here, manipulate where Shedeur goes.
Yeah, and that's putting a lot of confidence in Deion, and putting a lot of confidence in the idea that they know where things are going to shake out.
Yep.
And they feel like they have some agency over where it's going to shake out. So when they meet with these other teams that they absolutely do not want Shedeur going to, they're going to act like
they don't
you
care.
Don't want me either because I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree. And it was interesting to me because I felt like that would have been the Cleveland Browns because I'm pretty sure, and I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Deion even specifically said, like, I don't want my son going to Cleveland. I could have remembered, I may be making that up, but I thought that that was a thing that happened many, many months ago. And so my initial thought right away that one of the people Todd McShay talked to is the Cleveland Browns. That's what I reacted to immediately. And then Mary Kay Cabot had this thing where the Browns were like, no, Shedeur was awesome. He was great, blah, blah, blah. So I was then very confused because I don't know what teams Shedeur would have met with that he would have been like this with because he clearly would like to get drafted by the Giants as evidence of those cleats that he wore. And he even like mentioned how he kind of wanted to go to the Giants. I think he would love to go number one overall if he's going to the Tennessee Titans. And then the Las Vegas Raiders meant he was playing for Tom Brady. And then I'm unsure how they would feel about the Jets. But like those were the four teams at the top of the draft that made the most sense. And so I look at it and I'm like, outside of Cleveland, like I felt like he would probably want to go to any of these places.
Yeah.
And yet here we stand with reports coming out that he wasn't great in interviews. And even before those reports, people coming out of the combine, Trevor Sikkema at PFF, Lance Zierlein in particular at NFL Network, had him falling out of mock drafts. Lance Zierlein had him at 28, the Cleveland Browns trading back in to get him.
And you think that's based on information that's out there that's like teams are not liking this.
Correct.
Right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of teams, scouts were telling them, yeah, like, Cam's number one QB, not even close. Like, nobody, Trevor Sikkema said, nobody, and he works for PFF, by the way, nobody at the combine had Shedeur over Cam. Not a single person.
Yeah, and I believe that. Like, yeah. I believe that Cam Ward at this point is the top quarterback in the draft. I just am used to now going through this every March where we talk about quarterbacks falling and these other position players who we think are best player available rising. And I still think that Shedeur Sanders is going to be a top 15 pick.
But that didn't happen last year. Last year,
people were talking about Marvin Harrison being the number two pick overall.
No way. It was always the top three quarterbacks. Like, those guys were never falling anywhere. It was always one, two, and three.
I'm not in deep in the mock drafts as you
yeah,
are,
yeah.
So I'll concede that that's probably the case. But I think there were a lot of people out there who were saying Marvin Harrison is caliber of number two overall. Like the amount of people in our backyard who were saying, don't take one of these quarterbacks, the top three quarterbacks with your number three overall pick. You know, you got to go back and get these other position players because these quarterbacks are overinflated.
So I feel like that was a representation of how people felt about quarterbacks. But all along, like it to me was those top three quarterbacks were the top three quarterbacks and like they were going to go one, two, and three. And some people wanted the New England Patriots to not take a quarterback and take a wide receiver, but it was always going to be quarterback, 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 whether it was going to be Caleb, Jaden, May, didn't really matter, but it was going to be those three. And then the Penix draft pick at Atlanta was a total surprise
yes.
to everyone on the planet.
Yes, I agree with that.
And then the Bo Nix one was
A perfect marriage.
I couldn't agree more. Sean Payton's crazy enough to reach on a guy that everybody thought was going to go in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And then J.J. McCarthy was the only guy, to me, that really rose in the draft stock. Like, he was originally late first round, early second round guy, and then he rose to a top 10 pick
so
pretty fast.
What I'm saying is, even though the mock drafts seem to be reflecting
yep.
this dramatic shift for Shedeur Sanders, where we are in the calendar of looking ahead at the draft, feels like the time when everybody starts looking around and getting itchy about the quarterbacks and saying, you can't compare this draft to last year's draft, but just in general, looking around and saying, I don't think this quarterback's going to go that high. I don't think this quarterback is as good as people are saying.
I look at this,
even with Shedeur, I think this quarterback has a lot more flaws than people are letting on.
Yeah, and maybe that's fair. I look at this and I don't see. To me, it's not necessarily anything that we're seeing on tape, right? Like, it's not people coming out and saying Shedeur has all these flaws. Instead, it's people telling you what they're hearing from the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. Like, to me, it's not we've grinded this tape so many times that we're now nitpicking those little things. Now it's instead the NFL rumor mill is finally catching up within the media.
But is that more real than crunching tape?
I think so. A lot of times, yeah.
Like, I don't think so.
I mean, how many times? I mean, again, you say Todd McShay doesn't like Tet McMillan. Mm-hmm. The NFL loves Tet McMillan. Mike Vrabel loves Tet McMillan.
I know. So you're saying that Todd McShay is wrong.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's why I'm saying the rumor mill does not reflect as much reality as people who have been crunching tapes since December.
So I think, no, so what I'm trying to say is that I think it's the opposite. I think the actual NFL personnel rumor mill, mm-hmm. so like the people in the league, matters way more than us idiots making mock drafts.
Okay.
So the Todd McShays, the Mel Kipers, the me's of the world trying to tell you, I watch a million hours of tape.
I think they're all part and parcel of the same thing.
Okay.
I think the mock drafts reflect what people are hearing because mm-hmm. everyone's trying to predict exactly what's sure. going to happen. And a lot of that rides off of rumors. I think we're coming off of Combine Week. There's a lot of information that's flying around. And I'm not saying it's like bad information. If I got the information and I like the source, I would report it 1,000%.
Yep,
like,
absolutely.
It could be good information. I'm just saying like it's kind of the natural cycle of the rumors, the reports that we go through before the combine. And if you ask me today, do I think that Shedeur Sanders is going to be outside of the top 20? I do not.
Interesting. Okay. I would say I think there's a 50-50 chance he is outside of the top 20. I think it is like I would say almost a 90% chance he falls out of the top five. Mm-hmm. Somewhere around 70 to 75% he's out of the top 10. And then like 50-50 he's out of the top 20.
Yeah, I could see him at like, I don't have the teams in front of me. I could see him in around like the top 15 though.
Yeah, I look at it and I just don't know. I don't know who's going to reach on the quarterback. Because after the Jets at 7, it was the Raiders at 6, Jets at 7 that I was like, all right, that's the spot he's going to go.
But Raiders are done.
The Raiders are done. And if the Jets really want Justin Fields and somehow get Justin Fields, then now the Jets are out. And so then I look at it, I'm like, okay, the next picks are the Panthers, nope. The Saints, probably not. The Bears, definitely not. The San Francisco 49ers, they won't. They're cutting salary in order to sign Brock Purdy. The Cowboys, no. Like, I'm looking at all these teams and I'm just like, the Colts, maybe, I guess, but I don't even think that. I think they would rather go with like veteran and continue to give Anthony Richardson a shot.
They got to move on.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
They got to move on. That's crazy.
People overcommit to top five picks, so okay. Like I don't think there's any chance they move on.
I know we got a trend on the other side. Can we get into the wide receiver carousel?
Yes, please. Let's do 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime. Here's Brian with what's trending.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Red Sox are in spring training action today at 1:05 as they face off against the Minnesota Twins, and we will have the call of the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. The Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione will be on the call alongside Will Middlebrooks. Bruins were in full sell mode yesterday at the NHL trade deadline as the Bruins shipped off Charlie Coyle, Brandon Carlo, and Captain Brad Marchand for a plethora of draft picks and young players. Coyle was sent to Colorado, Brandon Carlo to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and of course Brad Marchand was sent to the division rival Florida Panthers. Here's former Bruins goalie Tuukka Rask on the Marchand trade.
I think it was pretty much the same as everybody else. Shocked, kind of. That I mean, especially that it's the Panthers. You know, but then again, I wish him nothing but the best.
The Bruins are in Tampa Bay today to take on the Lightning with puck drop at 3 o'clock. It is the first time since 2002 that the Bruins roster will be without Patrice Bergeron, Brad Marchand, or Zdeno Chara. In the NFL, a big trade occurred last night as the Seattle Seahawks shipped quarterback Geno Smith to the Las Vegas Raiders in exchange for a third-round draft pick. Smith will reunite with former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll. Celtics play host to LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Los Angeles Lakers tonight at TD Garden with tip-off scheduled for 8:30. Lakers are riding an 8-game win streak and currently sit as the second seed in the Western Conference. And according to our very own Justin Turpin, the Celtics injury report is as follows. You have three players questionable. That's Sam Hauser with a right ankle sprain, Jrue Holiday with a right hand mallet finger, and Kristaps Porzingis with a non-COVID related illness. In other NBA news, Knicks point guard Jalen Brunson is expected to miss 2 weeks after suffering an ankle sprain in Thursday night's loss to the Lakers. And Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic made NBA history last night, becoming the first player 30 or more points, 20 or more rebounds, and 20 more assists in a single game. I'm Brian Frisoco. That's trending on WEI and WEI.com. More Shime and Mego coming up after this.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Now, more of Mego and Sean on WEEI.
Everybody's saying DK to New England, man. Everybody in the league thinks that.
I like that. Oh, I like that, DJ. Keep spinning that
wheel. What
do you
mean in the league? Yeah. What do you mean? You're getting texts from people around the league saying...
DK comes available. You just talk to a bunch of buddies around the league, and they're like, that just makes too much sense. They have all the money. They have all the space. They have no weapons. What if Drake May, like, if you're the Patriots, and I think that they would have competition here from the Chiefs because of the moves that the Chiefs made. Ooh. The Chiefs now have a hole at left guard, left tackle. Ronnie Stanley makes a ton of sense for the Chiefs to kind of be aggressive in free agency. I would also say New England should be at least having the Ronnie Stanley conversation. You go out in the first week and you give Drake May a left tackle and a number one wide receiver. Now we're cooking.
Mego and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That was my guy, DJ, Move the Sticks Pod, Daniel Jeremiah, on with the Pat McAfee program, talking about a lot of tank tops and yelling there, talking about DK Metcalf and Ronnie Stanley possibly becoming New England Patriots. Mego, if you had to pick one, which do you think is more likely to become a New England Patriot, Ronnie Stanley or DK Metcalf?
Ronnie Stanley.
I agree.
Absolutely, Ronnie Stanley. First of all, DK Metcalf, we don't even know if he'd want to come here.
Well, he's told Katie Nolan that he wouldn't want to play in Massachusetts. So
the Seahawks are obviously trying to sell super high. They're asking for a first and a third for DK Metcalf, which they are not going to get.
No, but it's the right ask.
Right. They're doing their job. They're starting from a very, very high negotiating point.
Which is how you negotiate, right? That's how you haggle?
I'm horrible at negotiating.
Ooh, I'm pretty good.
Really? Do you enjoy it?
You
bought a car recently.
Like, I did.
Did you go in super low?
Yeah, well, no,
or
it's not that I went in
full
super
of
low.
Demands. You're like, we need the ski rack on the top.
No, my thought was every time they gave me a number, if it's a number that I didn't like, I said, I need to go think about this. And as soon as you try to stand up from the desk, they're like, well, let me go back and work more numbers. And they do. And then you go, this is still, I don't think this is the number I'm looking for. And you threaten to leave again, and they don't want you to leave because they know if you leave, you're probably not going to buy the car. So then they go back and work more numbers, and then they come back, and they're like, all right, like, I've crunched this. I'm down to this. I'm like, man, we're really close. But, like, I still think this is just a little too much for me. Go do it one more time, and then you're in your zone. And you just have a number in your head going into it that you want, and then you go from there.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You have to be in a position, if you want to negotiate well, you have to be in a position where they need to sell you more than you need to buy.
No, I get that. And I guess maybe it's not fair to compare Carr to DK Metcalf.
Yeah, probably
but it's
not,
probably but the point where we have all negotiated the most outside of work. And I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, well, especially because, like, the Patriots are not in the same position I was when buying a car. The Patriots desperately need a number one receiver, whereas I didn't desperately need a car right at that moment.
Yeah, so I feel with Ronnie Stanley that it's more realistic because there's already a lot of smoke out there about them being aggressive with the offensive line in free agency. It's apparent that he is in a different tier than the other tackle free agents who are available. And yeah, he's going to be turning 31. Like every left tackle, he has some injury history. But the very fact that he might be available from the Ravens, I think, makes the Patriots likely to push all their chips on the table.
And
say, we know we need somebody for the future. We know we need to find a player who we can develop for that position. But right now, we're showing a very firm investment in this team now and in Drake May by extending ourselves to above probably $20 million a year for Ronnie Stanley.
I agree. Yeah, and I also think, too, it's representative of how they feel about the draft. Like, I think to them, the best player that's probably going to be available to them isn't going to be a tackle. Like, that's what that indicates to me, is it's like, okay, we probably can't address this in the draft. We need to go hard on this in free agency, and Ronnie Stanley's better than anything we'd get in the draft
anyways. Or they're comfortable
anyways.
Getting a developmental guy in the middle.
Sure, that's plausible as well. And then I also look at it, too, and Giardi had this report. Was this yesterday or 2 days ago now? It was March 7th, so yesterday. Mike Giardi tweeted out, per league sources, Chris Godwin will be incredibly sought after, assuming he hits free agency, just like Ronnie Stanley. Patriots expected to be the driver there. It's going to cost more money than you would have thought, in excess of $25 million. Then later readdressed that and said probably closer to $20 to $22 million a year.
Oh, I didn't see he readdressed that. That's
yeah, he did actually this morning, about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, great. Because I'll say on the Chris Godwin stuff, I love him as a player, as a guy. I don't see how you don't. Like, he seems like an absolute natural leader, like great place with his ego, very, very consistent guy, had back-to-back 1,000-plus yard receiving seasons, and then last year only played 7 games, had to have the ankle surgically repaired, and is 29. So that's not a great position to be in, but there is a lot of upside to that. Here's where my fear is. If they are able to get Chris Godwin and they're paying him, let's just go on the high end, $23 million a year, they have told us they're going to be aggressive, and we all know that they have the cap space. But do you believe that when they go out and have a buy that big, that then they're going to spend $20, $21 million a year on Ronnie Stanley or a player of that caliber? Or are they going to go the Commanders route and try to spread this money across a lot of veterans and bring them in and have this kind of stable, above-average support system throughout the team?
They should target the best guys and attack them aggressively. They will probably do what you just said with like what the Commanders did,
and that's
spread
why,
the money out a little bit more.
That's
evenly.
Why I look at somebody like Chris Godwin and I go, there's so much to love there. And I'm not really super skeptical of him being close to 30 and just coming off of an injury. But I'm more skeptical of the Patriots standing by their aggressive remarks and saying, yeah, we're going to get Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to give out two contracts that big. Yes, they can. They can.
They should.
But are they going to?
No, you're probably right. I don't think they're going to either.
So it puts me in the position where I go, if I have to pick, I'm going with the left tackle.
But it also irks me because if they're not willing to give out big contracts, then why aren't they doing like what the Texans did, sending a 7th to the Jaguars, bringing in Christian Kirk, right? Sending a 7th to the Commanders and grabbing Jonathan Allen and then negotiating with them in the building, and you're not competing with 30 other teams. Like, if you're not going to be aggressive in free agency, you'd think that would be the avenue you go, right?
Yeah, my fear is that they're trying to wait out some of this trade market stuff and see who is going to who teams are just going to let walk.
And so then they're just going to... And
that's not aggressive.
No, not at all.
Like, I guess they said they were going to be aggressive in free agency. So maybe that's their way of saying, don't worry, we're going to spend. But again, like when you're in free agency and you're in these positions, there's a lot that the Patriots have to prove with that aggressiveness. Okay, are they going to be the interest kings? Or are they actually going to put guaranteed cash into these offers? Because that's not who they've been.
No, and when you look at it, the two guys that they reportedly want the most may not even actually hit free agency. Yeah. So what if Ronnie Stanley and Chris Godwin just re-sign with the Ravens and Bucks respectively? Then what are you doing?
Then you're up a creek, man.
It's just like, I don't know why you aren't being more aggressive, especially in the receiver market. I feel like in the tackle market, there may not be a ton of options to be aggressive with right this moment.
And they're a lot of times are not.
Correct. But when you look at the receiver market, Christian Kirk, you could have just brought him in and gave him a contract. Like, you could have got him for a 7th round pick, a meaningless pick that's going to get you nothing in anyways, and then at least get him in the building so that you can get him a contract before 30 other teams can talk to him. You can trade for DK Metcalf. You can trade for Cooper Kupp. You could have traded for Deebo Samuel.
First of all, I just don't think that they like Deebo Samuel, which
is
a mistake.
Fine.
Like,
yep.
You just have to get some upgrades in the building.
Agree.
Maybe they think that he was not as motivated or he was out of shape.
Reports where he wasn't a quote-unquote fit, which is fine. I'm just saying, like, the receiver market is there to be had if you want it to be aggressive, and yet they continue to sit and wait.
Who I want them to go and get is Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, I don't want Jacoby Myers.
I want Jacoby Myers. Bring Jacoby Myers home.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because he's one guy who you know can work with Josh McDaniels.
Oh, who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Get me better players.
You know who cares? The entire offensive unit over in the Raiders.
I would rather have like everybody than Jacoby Myers.
Why? What do you have against Jacoby Myers?
I don't want...
Because he's a volume
fine.
Receiver?
He's fine. He's
because
not even a volume receiver.
Because he doesn't drop the ball?
He's
because
not even good.
Because he had
good.
Over
he's
1,000 yards?
He's like a number three. Like, he shouldn't be a number two.
You don't have a number three on your team right now.
Yeah, you have Bob Douglas. Okay. He's just as good.
No, your whole roster is number three.
Pop Douglas is not as good as Jacoby Myers.
Yes, he is.
That is wild.
No, it is not.
Everybody loves Pop Douglas. Show me what he's done.
What has Jacoby Myers done?
He had 1,000 receiving yards last season.
Yeah, because he was playing last season or 2 seasons ago?
No, last season. Look at the stats.
All right. I'll take a look. I'm sorry. But, like, I don't like Jacoby Myers. I don't want him back. I'm tired of bringing back old
players. I'm not saying he's your number one move. Yeah. I'm saying he makes sense for this roster. I think you bring him back. He's a grown-up in the room. We keep begging for that with this receiver room. He's a trade who you could execute maybe the same level as somebody like Cooper Kupp. So maybe, like, if Cooper doesn't get released and you can't get him in free agency, you trade for a guy like that. Maybe you can get Chris Godwin. Maybe you can swing another high-level trade like DK Metcalf and get an actual one in here. But I think just making one move at the receiver is not enough. Like
I agree.
And
you need
I don't
to make
have
two.
Faith in the draft either. Like, I'm just out of that game with this team.
Yeah, I like Tet McMillan a lot. I really do. I am opposite of Todd McShay. I love Tet McMillan. I want Tet McMillan with the first pick in the first round. If you're not getting Abdul Carter, for me, it's Tet McMillan. Like, that's the way I would go. But I would also...
At number four?
Yes.
Okay.
I would also bring in a legitimate receiver. I would be knocking on Davante Adams' door the first day of free agency and being like, look, I know you don't want to necessarily play in New England, but we're going to give you the best offer out of anybody on the table. I can guarantee
you. How much would you extend yourself for Davante Adams?
2 years, $75 million fully guaranteed. I would make him the highest paid receiver of all time on a yearly basis on a two-year contract.
I wouldn't do it for Davante Adams.
He's arguably a top five receiver in football, and I can have him. I will pay anything to have him.
I just think that the point that you're at, it's hard for me because I don't have entire faith that the Patriots will spend as much as it sounds like they're promising.
I don't think they will either.
That they're going to spend.
I'm just telling you what I would do.
I don't want to sit here and say, like, spend, but not like that. I guess I'm caught between those two worlds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get that. But, like, in 14 games, Davante Adams still had 1,000 yards last year. 14 games. And I know a lot of it was the end of the season with Rodgers and blah, blah, blah. But, like, this is a guy who has had 1,000 yards in 5 straight seasons, 6 out of the last 7, has been a literal touchdown machine.
Well, if you believe Garofalo, he might be in Minnesota then.
Oh, with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
All the rumors is that he just wants to continue to follow Aaron Rodgers. God knows why after the experience with the Jets. But Garofalo has this report that Aaron Rodgers might be in the Minnesota Vikings business.
But that's why, like, if the Patriots are really going to be aggressive, mm-hmm. you need to go blow guys away. Show them that you are being aggressive. Make them say no. It's basically, right, when you talk about, like, the deals with Calvin Ridley and stuff, you gave excuses, like, oh, his girlfriend didn't want to be mm-hmm. in Massachusetts, blah, blah, blah. No, go, if you really are being aggressive, if you are committed to making this football team better, then blow guys away.
And that's where
make
I think
them say no
if you ask me who they're going
to
do that with, I think it will be Ronnie.
And that's if he makes...
If he gets there.
Yeah, that's the issue. That's the huge caveat.
That's the issue with free agency, Shy, is we do sit here trying to make these predictions and trying to hear what we hear to say, who are they going to extend themselves for? Because it's free agency. They're telling us they're going to overpay. They're going to extend themselves. And then these guys just re-sign. Like, at least we're past the tagging conversation with T. Higgins. We were in that for God knows how many, like a year at this point. But you got to wait and see if these guys are even available to you.
And that's why I would focus on the guys that you know are available and acquirable. Trade for guys like Cooper Kupp or DK Metcalf. And I understand not wanting to trade for DK Metcalf because it's a high pick and you have to give him the contract, which is why I'd rather just spend money on Davante Adams.
Are you worried
Adams.
At all with a DK Metcalf about his personality fit here?
No. That I don't care about. I think that stuff is kind of relatively overblown, especially with a guy like Mike Vrabel in the building. I might have been a little bit more concerned if it was still Jerod Mayo, but with Mike Vrabel in the building, that does not concern me.
Just in case somebody out there hasn't heard it, here was DK Metcalf on Katie Nolan's Casuals podcast talking about whether or not he'd ever want to be in New England.
I think you would really like living in Massachusetts. Do you agree, you think?
No.
What? You couldn't see yourself ever living in Massachusetts?
Look at how long it's taking you to say the word. No. No, it's not a desirable place in my opinion. I said great organization.
Yes, of course.
Great organization.
Some may say the best. Massachusetts would be so happy to have.
Must be on their payroll because you pushing them hard.
Well, yeah, I think she's from the area,
she's
right?
She's a massive Patriots fan. She's from Framingham.
Yeah, exactly. And so, okay. So he didn't say no to the Patriots. He just said no to Massachusetts.
So maybe Rhode Island. Maybe what he's telling
you. Put him in Providence.
He's really interested in the Narragansett area.
Oh, yeah. I bet he's a big
fan
of Narragansett.
Rhode Island's underrated. Like, I will say that.
Look at how long it's taking you to say the word. No.
Rhode Island is two words. I argue with Jones about this because I think Jones, because of his family, he gets like strong-armed into doing a lot of Rhode Island stuff in the summer. Mm-mm. I think Rhode Island is the most underrated New England state by far.
Oh, you think you could get a mansion next to Taylor Swift's in Newport?
I don't know.
Probably. He has the money.
What is next to Taylor Swift's? Right. Like, you're like a mile away from Taylor Swift's house? Yeah. I don't know. I've never like gone.
Would that interest DK Metcalf?
Stalked that area. Probably not.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What would? Like, we've done this before.
It's right on
we've
the beach.
We've talked about the way that you could attract free agents or you could attract somebody who doesn't want to get traded.
Have
Ty
Law
convert,
call him.
Convert, yeah.
That's maybe. Honestly, I would just be like, yeah, Ty, can you sell these guys, please? Like go do what you do for Corvus and go sell these guys on being Patriots. And then they can live wherever they want.
Yeah, I guess you just take them to, Wynn. Take them to the casino. Show them, like, that there's like, nice high-end stuff around
take
here.
Him to like Memoir or something.
Yeah, or just, you know, the steakhouse there.
Night out with Greg.
Yeah. Greg should be the ambassador.
Take him to the North End. Good Italian dinner.
Go to Seaport. Go to what's the seafood restaurant he loves? Ocean Prime.
Take him to Ocean Prime. Yeah. Are there any good candy stores? I know DK Metcalf loves candy.
Oh my God, there's a new place that just opened in the South End. It's called Madeline's.
See, I'm glad I asked.
I'm dying to go. It's supposed to be like, because I'm obsessed with penny candy.
Okay.
And so it's supposed to be like a high-end kind of cute little penny candy place.
Nice. Well, I know like DK Metcalf loves, I think it's like sour gummy worms.
This place would definitely have sour gummy
worms. Yeah, he eats like nothing but junk. And he is ripped to the gills.
I should be the ambassador then.
There you go. Perfect. You can show DK Metcalf around the city.
I could show him all my favorite junk food spots.
Yep.
And we could hit up all the penny candy down on Cape Cod.
Yep.
And I think this is a great opportunity.
I think WEEI could do a really good job of selling DK Metcalf because you could show him all the junk food spots. And then we hook him up with Wiggy, and Wiggy can help him get his menage a trois on. And
what?
You've never heard this report about DK Metcalf? Like, didn't he got in like a heated argument with a woman because he was like on his way to go have like a threesome?
What?
Yeah, it was like a whole thing. It was like a couple years ago now.
Okay. I don't even want to Google this because I don't know how I start to Google that.
And he's just ripped, so he's just going to be in the gym half the time anyways. Yeah, we're going to help him out.
Why is Wiggy the one leading the way on that?
Wiggy's very sexual. Have you ever listened to the Greg Hill Show?
I mean, yeah, but I didn't know that it went in that direction.
I don't know. Wiggy could help him. Wiggy could wingman for him, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
I think. Wiggy's an outgoing guy. He's a great personality.
I don't feel comfortable having this conversation without both.
Also,
of
Wiggy's
the
wife
Wiggins
is better than Wiggy.
Couple, yeah, together. Well, most wives are.
Yeah, that's true. That you're. That's
I would say that for nearly everybody that I've met at WEEI.
Yeah, most times you're probably accurate. That's
the
that's
wives are pretty awesome. The wags of EEI.
Yep, I met Jones's wife for the first time.
She's
a while back. She's great.
One of the best people.
Huge Bravo fan.
Yeah, we text a lot about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here talking all things Patriots offseason. One more segment to go on this beautiful Saturday morning.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Great tonight from Peyton Pritchard. 41 for Pritchard. My goodness. Brown trying to go to work. Simon's the aggressive D. Nice shot fade. White's got two. And he has 41 as well. It's the first time a Celtics duo have had 40 in the same game. Celtics history.
It's Mego and Sean here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Mego, huge Celtics game tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight. Celtics. Lakers. 8:30. ABC and ESPN Plus. Are you excited for this one?
I am stoked. I'll be there. I'll be writing off the game. We'll have a little post-game video, Justin Tarpin and I as well. But
nice.
Yeah, this is...
Slammed pod, right?
This is the biggest... I guess, regular season game that I can really remember. What was a bigger regular season game than this? It's the first time that the Celtics are seeing the Lakers since the Luka trade. It's the biggest trade maybe in NBA history and the most surprising. And the Lakers are in an 8-game winning streak. They're 10-2 since they traded for Luka. On top of it all, during that time, since they traded for Luka, they have the best defensive rating in the entire NBA.
And everybody said they wouldn't be able to play defense.
Which is wild. Like, all of it is wild. Meanwhile, the Celtics have had everybody in and out of the lineup. You can attribute some of that to the time of year it is. It's okay. They're in a kind of taper period for these guys leading into the playoffs. But on the other hand, there's somebody like Kristaps Porzingis, who is apparently a game-time decision. He hasn't played in like a week because he's had this non-COVID illness. So hopefully we'll get to see outside of Drew Holiday. We'll see everybody out there. We'll see Derek White with his permanent teeth, I hope. I was at the game the other night, and he got his temps knocked out of his mouth. Oof. And walked off the court with bleeding into a towel and then came back into the game. So don't tell me NBA players aren't tough, because Derek White is tough. But yeah, it's a huge game.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. The thing that caught my eye, too, is the Celtics are 7.5-point favorites.
Like, that's too high.
That's way too much.
Everybody's been prepared.
Eight in a row.
Like, I know the Lakers are on a road trip, and so there's a reason, besides being the defending champs, that the number is what it is, but I think both these teams are going to treat this game like it's a playoff game.
Yeah, and I guess, too, like, the Lakers have not been great at home this season. They're just above 500, or I'm sorry, away this season. They're just above 500 on the road. So I guess that's in play. But, like, the Celtics just lost back-to-backs to the Pistons and Cavs, what, a week ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this game is very much in play for the Lakers if LeBron and Luka are both playing in this game, which I expect both of them to play. Like, this is the biggest NBA regular season game I couldn't tell you the last time I have felt a buzz like this for an NBA regular season game.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting potential finals preview. It's early to say that, and the West is crazy.
Do you think it's a finals preview?
I think it's a potential finals preview.
Okay.
I do. I don't know how you don't see what the Lakers are doing right now, and you're not high on the Lakers. Like, I know nobody wants to hear that because everybody hates the Lakers, and I feel that too.
Everybody's hates LeBron.
So freaking sick of LeBron and Bronny and the whole thing that happened with Luka getting traded there. I hear you. First of all, I do think it's great for the NBA if you get a Celtics-Lakers final. And it's like LeBron's finals.
Well, that's great. Ben Curtis's whole conspiracy theory.
That's
is
crazy.
They got the Luka trade.
It's
it was
crazy.
Dog cheap. And then you get Celtics-Lakers in the final and the biggest finals rating you're going to have
in
forever.
You don't have to have a conspiracy to have people make stupid decisions.
No, I agree. You're absolutely right. But I also think, it's really interesting that Oklahoma City's been awesome all year. But then the two hottest teams in the West are the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors. They've won 8 of their last 10, too. So it's good for the NBA that Steph Curry is on a good basketball team and that LeBron James is on a great basketball
team. Certainly. And it's good for us that we have this game, although I wish it was a 7:30 start. 8:30 is so late.
At least
late.
It's a Saturday, though.
It's like, so late. I understand. Like, there's going to be a lot of... It's Saturday night. There's going to be a lot of West Coast viewership.
Tons.
So it makes sense. But for me personally, as my age continues to march towards the grave, I do not enjoy an 8:30 tip-off.
Celtics win tonight?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Celtics are back nearly at full force and they win tonight.
Love it.
I don't think it's going to be a 7-point spread, though.
Yeah, I will. I'll take the Lakers plus the 7.5 points. That's my better than I. But
yeah,
there you go.
That's a smart one.
Thank you. It's been Mego and Scheim here on Boston Sports Original. Thank you for tuning in a little earlier than normal. We'll be back to our normal time next week, 11 to 1. No Mego next Saturday, though. She's going to be off.
Taking a day.
Yep, she's going to be off enjoying herself. So I will be back with you next Saturday. Bradfo and Ken Laird, Brian, that's who's up next.
Bradfo and Ken.
Look at that. Bradfo and Ken up next, live from Fort Myers, Florida, getting you ready for spring training baseball. Thank you so much for listening to Mego and Scheim. This is Boston Sports Original, WEEI.